It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. Howdy, everybody. This is DJ Marcus, and this is the first episode of a new idea I had. This is called News to Me, and basically I'm going to go through some news that I found. I read a lot of news, so I'll just share a few stories I like. Probably play a few songs intermixed there, but it's just a general, like, kind of like, hey, let's cover some news stories that, you know, as I found, and I find that a lot of times when I'm looking at news or looking for stories, I'm not finding a broad selection. Usually they're way too hyper-focused, so hopefully this, you know, gives you something new, or a little bit interesting, a little extra. So, start off with, let's start just like in the paper, let's start with the international news. Some sad news here out of Hong Kong is that protesters started having to delete social media accounts as formerly allowed speech suddenly became a crime. So the New York Times, you know, opinion what you will, but they wrote most of this story. And the big thing here is that the police, as soon as this law was passed, they passed it yesterday, so on July 1st, the Hong Kong police moved in to enforce the new rules. And so they immediately started arresting people who were talking against. Sorry, I'll read the story. I right away start getting agitated. The law was proving effective in tamping down the anti-government demonstrations that have racked Hong Kong for more than a year. On Wednesday, the anniversary of Hong Kong's return to Chinese control, a scattered crowd of thousands protested only to be corralled by the police and risk arrest for crimes that did not exist a day earlier. They deployed pepper spray and water cannons to force protesters off the streets, and they arrested about 370 people, including 10 over new offenses created by the law that just went into effect. One of the 10 was a 15-year-old girl waving a Hong Kong independence flag. Far-reaching and punitive, the law threatens the freewheeling cultural scene and civil society that make the fabric of life in Hong Kong so distinct from the rest of China. While officials insist that the law will only affect a small group of offenders, many fear the government could use the law's expansive definitions to target a wide array of people and organizations, prompting many to take defensive action. That's kind of the gist of it. It's sad because it's kind of a wild time for protests and for standing up for what's right. And Hong Kong's been fighting this fight for a long time. And it's, I don't know, authoritarian regimes usually are pretty resilient, especially if the people are happy. So, I don't know, look at what's happening here in the good old USA. Alright, man, I'm trying to be upbeat and calm, but some of this news, man, it gets you down. Here, let's talk about a country that I like, I always admire, Singapore. The general election for 2020 is coming up, and PM Lee, he has done some amazing speeches. He speaks many languages, and during press conference for COVID-19, twice he was doing a press conference. He's speaking English, then he drinks a sip of water, and he starts talking in Chinese. Then he takes a sip of water and he starts speaking in, I think, Thai or Malay. And it's like, wow. And so there's a lot of great memes. So if you look at PM Lee Magic Cup, you'll see that. But the Straits Times has this to say, that the Economic Development Board secured $13 billion with a B, in new investments in just the first 4 months of the year. And that money will generate several thousand jobs over the next few years. So how is the EDB able to do this during a pandemic and a recession? Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong on Wednesday took pains to explain how the EDB managed to do so, describing it as an extraordinary feat. In an ordinary year, the EDB would attract about $10 billion for the whole year. He said it's because Singapore enjoys a strong reputation internationally and investors have confidence in us. Investors are also confident that the government can get Singaporeans to back policies that will grow the economy, attract talent and investment, and eventually create jobs for Singaporeans. These have been the fundamentals of our economic success and the reason why MNCs have kept faith with us, he said in a video message posted on social media yesterday. He added that in a crisis, it's even more critical for Singapore to reinforce these fundamentals to attract more investment and create jobs. It's also important not to lose sight of the long-term mission of making Singapore better, even as the nation deals with the immediate need to get through the COVID-19 crisis. I don't know much about his policies, but anytime I've watched PM Lee speak, it's been really cool. I enjoy watching and reading what this guy says. I hope he's not an evil person. I do think he's with the PAP, which is kind of the, from what I can tell, I think it's like the, I better not comment. I don't know enough to make any comment about that. But go Singapore. I hope you have a successful and good, smooth election. All right. So, right, and look at that. I will ramble even when no one's talking to me. So now, here we go. Sorry about the delay here. Show one. All right, so now we've got our friend in India. I want to talk about this. This is another story that I think is uplifting, and that's that celebrities in India are starting to kind of push for people to, hey, pay attention to this. India still has lots of cases. This is another story on the Straits Times. But here we go. With almost 4,000 new COVID-19 cases reported daily in Tamil Nadu, film personalities are trying to do their part in fighting the pandemic. But political rivalries and fear of infection have made volunteering a challenge. Citizen participation is important in times of calamity, said actor and politician Kamal Hassan. The multilingual actor has worked in over 220 films and is the founder of political party Makal Nidedi Mayam. Probably said that improperly. On June 5th, Mr. Hassan launched a volunteer project called Naime Teravu, We Are the Solution, to help change Tamil Nadu capital Chennai, where he lives, from a red to a green zone. The city by itself accounts for over 50% of infections and deaths statewide. With over 90,000 cases reported, Tamil Nadu state has the third highest number of COVID-19 infections in India. Public health experts have criticized the state for premature reopening of wholesale markets and liquor stores, led to crowding, inadequate testing, and disproportionate emphasis on policing rather than educative messaging that ended up dissuading people from reporting their symptoms. As infections multiplied and hospitals were overwhelmed, the state imposed a stringent second lockdown till July 31st. After initially discouraging volunteer efforts, fearing that some other political party or public personality will get the credit, the government is now stretched to the limit. It is finally working with citizens to help those in need. This was a senior social worker in Chennai who did not want to be named for obvious reasons. So I think that it's beautiful that we've got celebrities trying to help promote awareness and actually do something. I worry because I live in Texas. I live in Austin, but Houston, Texas, and San Antonio, Texas, both say their ICUs are full. People are waiting in, just sitting around. They should be admitted and in an ICU, but they're in just like the emergency room or in a waiting room. Houston's shipping people to neighboring cities for treatment. From Houston, some people are getting shipped to Beaumont and Galveston. Beaumont's a little bit of a drive away, so this is not looking so hot. It's a little bit worrying. I hope that my parents live in a small rural area, and they I think have like two ICU beds, so or less. So I'm hoping that they stay okay. Anyway, that's the international news. Enough of that. Sorry to get all sad. It's so easy to lose it because it's just, I don't know, that's just kind of how it is. We got COVID going on. We got a lot of unrest, and That's fine. I'm going to play a surf track for you now. It's there's a local band in Austin called Teenage Cave Girl that I like a lot. And this song coming up is called Space Girl. And it will just take me a second to make the magic happen. Right, that was pretty rad. I really dig that kind of sound. So let's go ahead and get into some domestic USA kind of news. Starting with our good friend Dr. Fauci. He's been the lead top doctor talking to the United States about COVID-19 and infection rates. And Dr. Fauci, he told members of Congress on Tuesday that although he can't predict the ultimate number of infections and deaths, it's going to be very disturbing. When you have an outbreak in one part of the country, even though in other parts of the country they're doing well, they're vulnerable, he said. We can't just focus on those areas that are having the surge. It puts the entire country at risk. We are now having 40,000+ new cases a day. I would not be surprised if we go up to 100,000 a day if this does not turn around, he told the Senate Committee on Health. Education, labor, and pensions. He told the Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions, which convened to discuss plans for reopening schools and offices that have been shuttered by the pandemic. Doctors Robert Redfield, director of the CDC, Stephen Hahn, FDA commissioner, and Admiral Brett Giroir, Assistant Secretary for Health at the the Department of Health and Human Services, also testified. It's very important that everyone wears their masks when they're out. Sorry, I got a little frog in my throat. But it's very important everyone wears their mask and has multiple masks, and you don't be sure you wash them if they're washable, and don't use them too long if they're not. The number of cases is just going to keep growing, and we have to kind of figure it out. We all got to come together. So anyway, that's my feeling about that. It's very sad, and I'm sad for all the people who are in prisons or that are in those ICE detention centers that are basically, you know, SOL. They're gonna get it, and hopefully they pull through. Disease isn't the only thing destroying our world today, I guess. I'm gonna try and find more uplifting stories tomorrow. These were just the ones that I bookmarked while I was reading the news this morning. We've got another Texas story here, and this company, Kinder Morgan, spilled. The Blanco County is one of the counties that has a bunch of oil in it, and there's not a lot of Anyway, I'll just read the story. It'll make sense. The pipeline company Kinder Morgan violated the Safe Drinking Water Act when it spilled tens of thousands of gallons of drilling fluid into Blanco County groundwater, according to a lawsuit from local owners, landowners, and groundwater conservation groups. In late March, Teresa Albright turned on the faucet in her Blanco home and saw the water had turned a deep brown, almost like chocolate milk. She checked every other tap in her house and the well that is the source of the water and found the same muddy color. Other landowners who used the well used well water were soon reporting the same thing. It wasn't until a few days later they understood the cause. About a mile from Albright's home, a crew working on Kinder Morgan's Permian Highway Pipeline project had accidentally spilled 36,000 gallons of drilling fluid into the earth. The fluid, which the company says is a mixture of water and bentonite clay, then contaminated the wells. At the time, Kinder Morgan said the fluid called AMC gel was non-toxic and the company was working with affected landowners. But the fluid maker warns that AMC gel is toxic. It's regarded as a carcinogenic to humans. Why is Kinder Morgan telling the community the stuff's not dangerous? It's inert. The manufacturer says it's a human carcinogen. Mundy says the Safe Drinking Water Act prohibits the injection of contaminants into underground sources of drinking water. Before this happened, the groundwater was some of the highest quality in the state, he said. Indeed, the United States. The lawsuit filed Monday is being brought by landowners and the Watershed Association. This is really sad. I have some family that lives in Goliad County. And in Goliad County, there was some uranium located at the bottom of one of the aquifers there, and it fed the water for the farmers in the county. And they were successfully able to organize and protest to prevent drilling, because they wanted to drill into the aquifer to mine out the uranium. And so they were able to get that gone, but that really seems to be more that they were able to scare them away because of scares of radiation. This mining fluid and fracking in general is god-awful. Like, the people who are in the oil field, I mean, it's decent money. You can make a living, but it's just destroying. It's almost like Fern Gully, that 90s movie. It's just extracting so much from people, extracting everything out of the earth and just destroying it, and then what? There's nothing left. You know, you're mortgaging your short-term future for this stuff. So, anyway, we got to figure out a way to do it safer. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? That's so lame. I'm sorry. All right. One more. Let me go ahead here and let's try and reset. I'm going to play you some good vibrations here. This is the Beach Boys. You know, we're in a surfy mood today. So, anyway. Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take ya. Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego, baby, why don't we go? Jamaica, off the Florida Keys. There's a place called Kokomo. That's where you wanna go to get away from it all. Bodies in the sand, tropical drink melting in your hand. We'll be falling in love to the rhythm of a steel drum band down in Kokomo. Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take you to Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama, Key Largo, Montego, baby, ooh, why don't we go? Tails.
biblical contact high, way down in Kobe.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take you through Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama, Key Largo, Montego.
From here, you know, but it's okay. It's the wind down part. We've got about 8 minutes or so to go, and I just want to say thanks for listening. I was trying this out. I'm gonna try this for a couple weeks and see if I can't get a rhythm down, and it helps kind of mellow out my day. So just thank you. This is DJ Marcus, and this show is called News to Me. So let's talk about some tech news. That's usually pretty mellow. It's neutral to exciting for me. One of the cool things, or I think, I don't want to call it cool. I think that I'm on the fence, but you can decide. Red Hat has decided to extend the life cycle of RHEL, Red Hat Enterprise Linux, 5 and 6 from 7 to 10 years. That means that people are going to be running RHEL supported through 2020. Meanwhile, the kernel maintainer Greg Crow Hartman left Red Hat. They left SUSE. Why is this in the article? Anyway, they left SUSE to join the Linux Foundation as a fellow. So, Red Hat announced it extended the product life cycle. The plan was implemented due to high customer demand. With the extension, RHEL 5 support will be carried through. Is this an old story? Why is this story in my blog? Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry, guys. That's the problem with recording live. I saw that they extended it, and I thought they extended it from 2020. Well, I burned that time. I don't have enough time to re-record, so. I hope I get to do this live next week. We'll see. Alright, so blow that story out of the water. Jump over here to. Alright. Here. Deep breaths. Deep breaths. It's fine. Everything's gonna be alright. I'm just gonna go ahead and play another song and then pop on with one more news story, I guess. Sorry about that, guys. We'll keep the theme. We'll keep on playing, you know, mellow kind of music. I'm going to play for us this. Here, where'd you go? Deep breaths. It's okay. There's no need to worry about anything. I pulled up the wrong music folder and ended up in our good friends, the hardcore electro music, and it's like, it's not gonna work. Here, we're gonna play. some Beatles.
In the town where I was born, lived a man who sailed to sea, and he told us of his life in the land of submarines. So we sailed on to the sun till we found the sea of green, and we lived beneath the waves in our yellow submarine.
We all live in a yellow submarine, yellow submarine, yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine, yellow submarine, yellow submarine.
And our friends are all aboard, many more of them live next door, and the band begins to play.
Submarine, we all live in a yellow submarine, yellow submarine, yellow submarine.
Post on ahead, Mr. Parker, post on ahead.
That's all we need. Sky of blue and sea of green in our yellow submarine.
We all live in a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine.
So I've got just a few tech headlines. I'm just going to stick to my good old trusty LWN.net for tech stories from now on. I thought I was making good moves doing some other one. But so big ups, new cache. GNU cache is 4.0 release happened. So there's some CLI changes, and there's now explicit support for accounts payable and receivable translation improvements and more. I really think it's important that open source software be useful, kind of like Mix rules. That's what I'm using now. But new cache is also super important and useful. I'm glad it hopefully improves business. Our good friends over at the PHP 8's out. I've been fighting to get PHP 7.4 updated at right now with my team at work, but PHP 8.0 Alpha 1 is out. So if you are into testing that kind of stuff, head over to php.net and grab a copy and send them some patches. And the other one I wanted to touch on here is that Firefox 78 has been released, and this is an extended support release. So you can track the number of breaches that were resolved from the dashboard and see if any of your saved passwords have been exposed. There's a whole long list of release notes. I'm pretty toasty. This was really exciting. Thanks a lot for listening. Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Then.